This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa ahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters, it is once again a pleasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a blessing from Allah azza wa jalla upon us all to be in the house of Allah, to remember Allah and the book of Allah and the stories from the Quran al-Kareem. And as I mentioned to you last week, that after we finish from the series of the stories of the Prophets and the Messengers, we will start, in which we already started last week, stories from the Quran al-Kareem. Even though the stories of the Prophets and Messengers are from the Quran al-Kareem, but we just focused on Prophets and Messengers. In this series, inshaAllah, we'll be talking about non-Prophets and Messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. Stories of non-Prophets and Messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. And those stories could be righteous people, like the man that we're going to be talking about tonight, and they could be unrighteous or wicked people, like how we'll be talking about Qarun, for example. He's a man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, and his story is mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, but he's not a good person. He's not a righteous person. He's a very bad person, wicked person, non-righteous person. So inshallah, in this series we'll be talking about different stories from the Quran al-Kareem that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention in the Quran. And tonight is a very important story, which is it's a continuous story from last week's topic that we started off when we spoke about the story of the people of the cave. The people of the cave. And we mentioned that the Arabs in Mecca, who did not have any scripture, but they were pagans, they were idol worshippers. During the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca, the people of Quraysh decided to go and speak to the Jews in Medina and ask them some questions that they could go back and post to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam in order for them to verify if he's a prophet or not. And given that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was quoting similar quotes and statements like what the Jews have from the Torah, what the Christians have from the Injil, which are considered to be sacred books to us, but we all know it's been distorted. So they decided to go and speak to the Jews. And they asked them questions for them to go back and ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe to confirm if he's a prophet or a messenger, maybe to put him on the spot, maybe to put him down. Whatever the reason is, probably most likely to put him down or to put doubt in the hearts of his followers. So the Jews told the people of Quraysh, the men from Quraysh, went and asked them that question. They told them to go and ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam three questions. And if Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam answers those three questions, then that's a good sign that he's a prophet and messenger. Now the Jews thought that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only thought, they believed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a genuine prophet. And we've spoken about this story in the past, during the time of the Prophet alaihi wasallam. So they thought, by them giving those questions to those men from the people of Quraysh, they'll put the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the spot. So they told the men from Quraysh to go back to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam and ask him three questions. Ask him about young men who went to the cave, what happened to them. Ask him about a man that wandered the earth and went to the east and the west and he ruled the entire world. And ask him about the soul. Now obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did reveal to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I mentioned this last week. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam was asked those questions and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam told him, come back to me tomorrow. Allah did not reveal anything for days. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lesson, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. That you ever say, I'm going to do something tomorrow before you say, inshaAllah. So that's a lesson to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a lesson to all the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, including you and me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did answer the third one in a separate surah, which is Surah Al-Isra. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَلِ الْرُوحِ قُلُ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. They ask you about the soul, O Muhammad, reply back to them and tell them the soul is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one knows much details about the soul besides that it does exist, but the details of the soul no one knows except Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the question of the young men who went to the cave, and we spoke about this story last week, which is Ashab al-Cave. In the same surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the story of the people of the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also answered the other question about a man who wandered the earth and ruled the earth. And that's Dhul Qarnayn. And that's our topic tonight. Dhul Qarnayn. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ. So in the same surah, Surah Al-Kahf, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the question, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the story of the people of the cave in Surah Al-Kahf, in the same surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also answered the question to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the man that ruled the east and the west. So both stories, the people of the cave and Dhul Qarnayn, both are mentioned in the Quran Kareem. The amazing part of it is that the story of the Ashab al-Kahf, the story of the people of the cave, is mentioned at the beginning of the surah. The story of Dhul Qarnayn is mentioned at the end of the surah. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ. O Muhammad, they ask you about Dhul Qarnayn. So now you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and they ask you. Who's asking Muhammad? The people of Quraysh. Where did they get those questions from? From the Jews. Now the people of Quraysh, as I mentioned, they were pagans, idol worshippers. They didn't have a scripture for them to go back to and refer back to. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ. O Muhammad, they've asked you about Dhul Qarnayn. Now when the Jews gave the questions to the people of Quraysh to go back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't say Dhul Qarnayn. They didn't say Dhul Qarnayn. Go and ask Muhammad about Dhul Qarnayn. They said to him, go and ask Muhammad about a man that wandered the earth and ruled the east and the west. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, O Muhammad, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ O Muhammad, they ask you about a man that ruled the east and the west. Allah gave him the answer straight away. O Muhammad, they ask you about Dhul Qarnayn. Even though there wasn't the question, who's Dhul Qarnayn? The question was, tell us about a man that ruled the east and the west and wandered the east and the west. But straight away Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the answer to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the name. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ قُلْ سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. O Muhammad, they ask you about Dhul Qarnayn. Say to them, I will tell you his story. Okay, Dhul Qarnayn. Dhul Qarnayn is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to this man who ruled the east and the west. His name is not Dhul Qarnayn. His name is not Dhul Qarnayn. His nickname is Dhul Qarnayn. Even though some of the scholars had mentioned and said his actual name is Dhul Qarnayn. But most of the scholars say, no. That's a description, a nickname. A nickname. Dhul Qarnayn. Dhul in Arabic means the one of. Or the one who is. Or the owner of. So the word Dhul, it describes someone. Dhul Qarnayn. The one of the, like when you say, Dhul Bayt, the owner of the house. Okay? Dhul Quwwah, the one with power. So Dhul is like the one with, or the one who is. Dhul Qarnayn, Qarnayn, Qarnayn is a word that describes two things. Like Kitab, Kitabayn. One book, two books. I know in English you only have singular and plural. In Arabic you have singular, then you have twin, and then you have plural. So, Dhul Qarnayn, Qarnayn, it's not a plural word because we don't have mathna or, you know, two. Dhul Qarnayn is two. Qarnayn is a word of two things, of Qarn. Qarn. Qarn in Arabic means a horn. H-O-R-N. You know the horn that the bull has? Okay, this is what we call Qarn. Dhul Qarnayn means the one with the two horns. The one with the two horns. And that's the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in the Quran Kareem. What does it mean, the one with the two horns? And who is this one with the two horns? What's the horns going to do with the whole topic that we're talking about tonight? And did he, because when he said the one with the two horns, I know, and I could sense how a lot of people are thinking, you are picturing a man, maybe with a big beard and two horns. Oh, it's like, you know, a unicorn. No. He's a normal human being, don't worry. He didn't have two horns. And he wasn't a devil with two horns that he embraced Islam. He's a human being, like you and I. And he did not have two horns. But when you say the word horn, the word qarn in Arabic implies power. The word qarn in Arabic, it implies power. That's why when you talk about a bull, what makes the bull powerful? What makes the bull strong? His horn. Cut off the horn of the bull, what happens to it? Becomes powerless. So, Dhul Qarnayn, the one with the two horns, it does not mean that he had two horns, but it's a metaphorical implication and meaning upon this great, righteous, powerful man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him the power of the east and the west. So that's what Dhul Qarnayn, the man with the two horns, mean. So horn refers to power, and Dhul Qarnayn had the power of the east and the west. So he is the man of the two horns, Dhul Qarnayn. He did not have horns on his head, nor that his hair looked like two horns. No, none of that. Nor that he used to put a helmet that had two horns. Maybe that's possible, and it makes sense in one way or another. And if you look into history, some leaders used to do that, but that's not the main thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to him as the man of the two horns, which is referring to the man of the two powers, the east and the west. And when you have the power of the east and the west, what does that mean? You have the power of the entire world. قُلْ سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا I'll tell you more about Dhul Qarnayn. إِنَّا مَكَّنَّا لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا We have established him on earth, and we gave him power, and we strengthened him on earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us his power, his powers, very strong power and strong establishment on the face of this earth. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will later on mention to us about his power in the east and the west. Inna makkanna lahu fil ard. So we had empowered him and established him on earth with power and strength. So who's Dhul Qarnayn? He's a normal human being like you and I. He did not have any deformity on his head. They had two horns, no, but it implies to the power of the east and the west. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that very clear. He was very powerful. He was a righteous man. Which means what? He was a Muslim. Before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which means he's a Muslim, not a follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a follower of another Prophet before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Most scholars say he was a follower of Isa alayhi salam. Say he was a Muslim, a follower of Isa alayhi salam, given that he came after the time of Isa. Some scholars say he came before Isa alayhi salam. Allahu alam. All we know, that he was a normal human being, and he was a righteous man, a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a follower of one of the prophets that was during his time or before his time. Whether it's Isa alayhi salam after his time or before Isa alayhi salam, and a follower of a prophet before Isa alayhi salam, Allahu a'lam. What's so unique about this man is that he was a king, but not your ordinary king. He's one of the only kings out of history that ruled the entire world. Usually kings rule a province, a state, a continent, an empire. And that's why the scholars say only two Muslims rule the world. And only two non-Muslims rule the world. The two Muslims that rule the world are Dhul Qarnayn and Sulaiman alayhi salam. Dhul Qarnayn and Sulaiman. Obviously Sulaiman is a lot more powerful than Dhul Qarnayn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him more powers than Dhul Qarnayn. We've already spoken about and covered the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam is one of those Muslims and obviously a prophet and a messenger of Allah that ruled the world. And he is the most strongest and the most powerful ruler and king and powerful man that ever existed. Sulaiman alayhi salam. Number one. Dhulqarnain is the second Muslim that ruled the world. And obviously we're talking about different times here. The other two non-Muslims, let's say Mukhtadassar and Fir'aun, and some say other people, whatever they are, whoever they are. But we know that there are two Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them to rule the entire world. In the past, you had a king, you had a prophet, you had a messenger that did rule, but a state, a province, a town. But to rule the entire world, that only happened to Sulaiman and Dhulqarnain, who is the man that we're talking about today. Inna makkanna lahu fil ard. We had empowered him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying about Dhulqarnain, we gave him power. We established him on earth. وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا. And we had given him everything that he needed to establish himself and his power on the face of this earth. وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا. So we gave him everything. Sabab means means. So we gave him the means of everything. The means of what? The means of ruling. The means of being a king. And he is a king. A powerful king. Righteous Muslim. He wasn't a prophet. Even though some scholars might say that, but the vast majority of the scholars say Dhulqarnain was not a prophet. He was a righteous man, a wali min awliya'illah, close servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had empowered, but he wasn't a prophet or messenger. What's his background? Yes, if you go and do your research on Dhulqarnain, some say he's Alexander the Great. Yes, even Muslim scholars say that. Other scholars say it was one of the Pharaoh kings. Other scholars say he was one of the kings of Himyar. Other scholars say it was an Arab. Other scholars say this and that. But there's nothing verified. Most scholars might say he's Alexander the Great. But at the end of the day, there's nothing verified. And Dhulqarnain is also, or that character that we're talking about, a man that ruled the East and West, is the same character that the Christians and the Jews also believe in. Christians and Jews believe in. That's why there's the difference of opinions. Did he come after Isa, before Isa? I'm just mentioning what's out there, but nothing's verified. Whatever's verified is in the Quran al-Kareem and whatever the Prophet Muhammad had mentioned. The rest is just narrations. Personal assessments. And at the end of the day, whether you believe in him or not, it's not going to increase your iman or decrease your iman. So if you believe that he's Alexander the Great, it's not going to increase your iman or decrease your iman. So Dhulqarnain is a man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran al-Kareem. The man with the two horns, which the scholars define that to be a man that ruled the east and the west. And the horn here is referring to power. The power of the east and the west. In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that very clear. Inna makkanna lahu fil ard. We established him on earth. We empowered him. We gave him power and strength and wisdom and knowledge. And you realize his wisdom and knowledge later on. وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا. We had given him everything and gave him means to everything. And means to everything. Means of power. Means of military. Means of army. Means of knowledge. Means of wisdom. Means of leadership. Not only means. Materialistic means. Or just military means. Or power and the weapons. No, no, no. Allah gave him wisdom and knowledge. And what's the point of you having the most powerful thing and there's no wisdom? Wisdom is very much needed. So you could have all the means that you want, but if you don't have the mean of wisdom and knowledge, you're not going to go too far. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises him in the Quran al-Kareem. فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. So we gave him means of everything, so he followed those means. And the way the verse comes across in a respectful manner, so he took what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him, and he took what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with, and he valued that, appreciated that, and he acted upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. The way the verse comes across, the expression of the verse, is a very respectful way, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commending him, Allah is praising him. We gave him means to everything, so he followed through those means. He followed suit. He took care of them in a respectful way. Usually when someone gets empowered, when someone gets wealth, when someone gets power, they abuse it. They take it for granted. But not Dhul-Qarnayn. The more power Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Dhul-Qarnayn, the more appreciative Dhul-Qarnayn became to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the power that Allah had given him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us on this journey with Dhul-Qarnayn. So let us embark on this journey. Hatta إِذَا بَلَغَ مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ وَجَدَهَا تَغْرُبُ فِي عَيْنٍ حَمِئَةٍ وَوَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا قَوْمًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us and talks about His journey on earth. And we know that this world is divided to north, south, east, west. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His journey going to the west, where Allah says, until He traveled towards the sunset. Where does the sunset? West. Okay. I know you're thinking, you say, okay, whereabouts west? West, like in Europe? You think of West Europe, that's all the way to Britain, for example. Or if you want to look into West Africa, towards Morocco. Or you know what? If you cross the Atlantic Ocean, you reach to America. So was it towards Vancouver, towards Canada? Or was it towards the other side, Los Angeles? West, to His west. Allahu a'lam what west. He reached to that west. Allah says He reached to where the sun sets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a beautiful description and expression here, in which Allah says, and He saw the sun coming down in a hole of fire. Aynin hamia. Ayn hamia is like a hole where there's a fire. You know, when you travel towards the west and you see the sun setting, especially on the oceans, like going into a fire. So this is the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in the Quran al-Kareem. Where Dhul-Qarnayn traveled towards where the sun sets, and he saw the sun setting like in a hole of fire. Not that Allah is saying that the sun does set in a hole of fire, but that's the description they see from far. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to mention, قُلْنَا يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ إِمَّا أَنْ تُعَدِّبُ وَأَمَنْ تَتَغِبُ فِيهُ مُسْلَامُ. So Dhul-Qarnayn is on a mission. His mission is what? His mission is to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to find the path of Allah azza wa jal, upholding the deen of Allah, upholding justice, and bringing peace towards people. So he is on a mission to travel the earth, to go to the east, to the west, north, south, and spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and bring justice and peace to the nations. So Dhul-Qarnayn is traveling until he reached towards the far west, where the sun sets. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him. How did Allah reveal to him? Allahu a'lam. It's not a revelation of prophecy, but Allah revealed to him. Whether Allah revealed to him through an angel that spoke to him directly, or Allah put it in his heart, or Allah sent someone to speak to him, all we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him. إِمَّا أَن تُعَذِّبَ وَإِمَّا أَن تَتَّخِذَ فِيهِمْ حُسْنًا. So when Dhul-Qarnayn had arrived to the far west, and he saw where the sun sets, he met and encountered people. There's a nation there. People are living there. And he has a responsibility. He conquered them, yes. And that's why he's the conqueror. He is Dhul-Qarnayn, the one that wandered the east and the west, the one that conquered the east and the west. And that's why his name is Dhul-Qarnayn, because he conquered the east and the west. When he reached to the west and where the sun sets, he encountered people there. Allah tested him and told him, what are you going to do, Dhul-Qarnayn? What are you going to do with these people? What's your approach towards those people? إِمَّا أَن تُعَذِّبُ وَإِمَّا أَن تَتَّخِذَ فِيهِمْ حُسْنًا. You either punish these people, or you do good towards those people. What are you going to do? You've conquered them. We're giving you power for you to conquer every land, and to conquer every nation, and to conquer every state, and to conquer every province. All these towers, what are you going to do with it? So he said, قَالَ أَمَّا مَنْ ظَلَمْ فَسَوْفَ نُعَذِّبُهُ ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ فَيُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا نُكْرًا. About those who oppress and do wrong, we will punish them. Those that commit crime, we will punish them. Those that cause fitna and cause mischief on earth, we will punish them. We'll take care of them. And then in the hereafter, Allah will take care of them. In the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them severely. وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُ جَزَاءً الْحُسْنَى. And those that do good, and those that believe and do righteous actions, then we will reward them. SubhanAllah, look at this beautiful verse. وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And those that believe and do right. It's not Allah good enough to say I'm a Muslim. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَىٰ إِلَىٰ اللَّهُ وَشْهَدُ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولَهُ. That's it. No. Iman, after Iman, what comes with that? Amal, action. So you could say you're believers, you're followers of Dhul Qarnayn, and you adhere to the rule of Dhul Qarnayn, and you follow the religion of Dhul Qarnayn, but we want practice. وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. But those that believe and do righteous actions, فَلَهُ جَزَاءٌ حُسْنًا. We're going to reward them. You do good, you'll be rewarded. You do bad, you'll be punished. وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا. And we'll make things easy on them. You believe and you do righteous actions, we'll reward you, benefit you, we're going to be easy on you. Which is justice. Justice is for you to have that balance of power where someone does right, reward them, help them, support them. Someone does wrong, punish them, warn them, pull them up. Regardless who this person is. And that's what Islam is about. Unfortunately these days, if someone has weakness, then you apply the punishment on them. But if this person is connected, no. Turn a blind eye on them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising Dhul Qarnayn in the Quran al-Kareem about his justice. And no abuse of power. Where? فَأَتْتُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he continued with the means. So now Dhul Qarnayn went to the far west where the sun sets. He encountered people there. He conquered their lands. He conquered all the lands along the way to the far west. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him what he's going to do with the people there. Those who do good will be good toward them. Those who do bad will punish them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us on his second journey to the far east. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ وَجَدَهَا تَطْلُعُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا. So he went to the far east. And along the way, on his journey, he's conquering every single nation, every single province, every single land. They're all becoming under his reign, under his dominance. And calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people are becoming believers. Islam and justice is spreading. Until he went to the far east, after he came from the far west. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran al-Kareem, مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ, where the sun rises from. Which means what? The far east. He encountered a weak group of people. Allah mentions that in the Quran al-Kareem. Allah didn't mention weed. That's my own impression here. But Allah described something weird about him. Something freaky. وَجَدَهَا تَطْلُعَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا. Allah says when he reached to the far east, where the sun rises from, he encountered that nation that nothing covers them from the sun. They've got no cover. And some scholars said they had no shelter, and other scholars said they had no shelter and clothing. And they used to sleep during the day and come out at night. They had no shelter. They had no clothing from the sun. لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا. He encountered the nation in the far east that had nothing to cover them from the sun. Whether nothing to cover them as a shelter or nothing to even cover their clothes. And some of the scholars say just shelter, but most of them say nothing. They had no shelter, no clothes. And they used to sleep during the day and work during the night. Their life was a not life. Because they had nothing in the day for them to be sheltered or protected from the sun. وَجَدَهَا تَطْلُوا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا. So he encountered a group of people that had no shelter from the sun in the far east. كَذَلِكَ وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. He did the exact same thing, and he dealt with those people the same way that he dealt with the previous nations in the west. He dealt with them the way he dealt with everyone else. You do good, we're going to take care of you. You do bad, we're going to punish you. Justice. You do good, you get the credit for it. You do bad, you're going to be punished. So his rule was the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sharia of Allah azza wa jal. You believe, you do righteous, you'll be taken care of. You disbelieve, you do wrong, you're going to be punished. That's his set rule, the rule of Allah azza wa jal. So he dealt with the people in the east the way he dealt with the people in the west. And you could imagine, he went from the far west to the far east and conquered all the land. All nations. All people. And we're not talking about Arabs here. Everyone. Arabs, non-Arabs, Africans, Asians, Europeans, they were all under his reign under his empire. ثم أتبع سببا. Like every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated this same verse three times about Dhulqarnain, it just shows how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising Dhulqarnain, that he followed the means. He was respectful, because when people start having powers, when people become strong and famous and influential, they start abusing it. Not always. Some people, a lot of people these days abuse their powers. But subhanAllah, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to Dhulqarnain, he respected the power that Allah had given him. ثم أتبع سببا. Allah repeated that three times about Dhulqarnain. He followed the means. He followed his way. He followed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent him. Allah could have said it once, but Allah is implying to us that this man did not abuse his powers, the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. Wallahu a'lam. Hatta إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ. So now he went from the far west to the far east. Coming back from the east, closer to north, closer to south, closer to west, Allahu A'lam. But he went to the far east already. So returning back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about another encounter, which is an interesting one. Hatta إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ. Until he reached to the two big mountains. Saddain are the two big mountains. وَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمَا قَوْمًا لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. So he reached to an area, a province, a land, where there are two big, massive mountains. People living around those mountains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even describes those people to us in a simple description. لا يكادون يفقهون قولا. No one understands their language. It's not a common language. Usually when you go in Europe, yeah, there's a bit of common language there. At least you find something in common. You go to Africa, there's something in common. Amongst the Arabs, something in common. You go to the Indian subcontinent, there's something. But this time, Dhulqarnain had encountered a nation, a group of people. لا يكادون يفقهون. No one understands their language. How was he going to communicate with them? That's why the scholars say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had also empowered Dhulqarnain with the understanding of foreign languages. And some narrations say that he managed to find an interpreter to interpret this language. But something that astonished Dhulqarnain and his army, what kind of a language these people are talking? لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. No one understands their language. Very weird language, foreign language that they've never heard of before. Everyone hears of other languages. Not necessarily they know of it, but at least I know that this language exists. But what are these people talking? What's your language? Very backward in their language. And some scholars go into further interpretation about their lifestyle. Very backward lifestyle, very primitive lifestyle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about his encounter with this group of people who did not know how to speak any common language that people at that time, the people of the Quran, had spoken. And those people, this nation, lived in between two big massive mountains. حتى إذا بلغ بين السدين. Saddain, two big massive mountains. He encountered these people. So these people spoke to Dhulqarnain, and they raised a serious complaint to him. قالوا يا ذلقرنين إن يأجوج ومأجوج مفسدون في الأرض فهل نجعل لك خرجا على أن تجعل بيننا وبينهم سدا. This nation that Dhulqarnain had encountered in between, or living in between, the two big mountains, they complained to Dhulqarnain about another nation. The other nation was called Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Gog and Magog. Who's Gog and Magog? They're human beings. They're not, wallahi, short and tall people with one eye. No, please, you know. They're human beings like me and you. But subhanAllah, they are very wicked, sinister, evil, mischievous kind of people. Their customs, their habits, their culture is so evil. On the top of all this, they're so big in their multitude and numbers. They're humongous. That's why they are called Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And the reason they are called Ya'juj and Ma'juj Ya'juj and Ma'juj derives from the word Ajjaja, which means the fire has been lit on. What happens when you turn on a fire? It starts to spread very quick. Like the bushfires that we just had right now. Spread very quick. And Ya'juj and Ma'juj are two nations. Human beings. They derive from the descendants of Nuh alayhi salam. Like us and them. But they're so big in their numbers. And they're so quick in their growth. And their production. And they are very evil people. They've got evil habits. Sinister characters. Very bad people. Worse than thugs. Imagine an entire nation of thugs. Worse than them. So when Dhul-Qarnayn had encountered that group of people that were living in between the two big mountains, that no one understood their language except Dhul-Qarnayn. They complained to Dhul-Qarnayn about Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And they said, Mufsiduna fil ard. Ya'juj and Ma'juj are causing so much mischief on land. They're causing so much corruption on land. And then they offered Dhul-Qarnayn an offer. They made a proposal to him and said to him, we are happy to gather all our money, we're happy to give you all the gold and silver that we've got in return for you to build a barrier between us and Dhul-Qarnayn. Between us and the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, sorry. We are happy to give you a very good wage for you and your people to build a barrier between us and Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Can you please create a barrier between us and Ya'juj and Ma'juj? So what was the response of Dhul-Qarnayn? قَالَ مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٌ فَأَعِينُونِي بِقُوَّةٍ أَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given me is greater than the money that you want to give me. I'm not short of money. I'm not in need of your money. But I will do what you had requested. You have to help me. So he just didn't give it to him for free. I don't want your money, but at least I want your labor. I want your help and support. And we'll build a big, massive dam, barrier, that will block Ya'juj and Ma'juj from everyone else. And you can imagine the power of the Dhul-Qarnayn when you talk about later on Ya'juj and Ma'juj, what happens to them, or what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made mention about them emerging just before the Day of Judgment, and how they'll come in big, massive numbers, and the entire world can't even confront them. So the power of Dhul-Qarnayn at that time more stronger than the power of the entire world later on. Because Dhul-Qarnayn managed to bring them all together, and he managed to lock them down. He managed to contain them. He managed to contain Ya'juj and Ma'juj. He had that power, he had that military. He had that force for him to control Ya'juj and Ma'juj. That later on, no one can even control him. So it shows, and it implies the power of Dhul-Qarnayn. So Dhul-Qarnayn forced Ya'juj and Ma'juj in between the two mountains. And with his military and his people, he started to build a barrier to block Ya'juj and Ma'juj in the mountains. With the help and the support of those people that proposed that to him from the very beginning. But subhanAllah, the way he built that dam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to it as Radma, but it's a barrier, amazing. The architecture of it, and what Dhul-Qarnayn thought of, just amazing. Something that's unprecedented during his time. What he did is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions there in the Quran al-Kareem. Atuni zubar al-hadid. Give me sheets of iron. He ordered them to get sheets of iron. Metal. Gather all your metal. All your iron. And he started to compile the iron in between the opening between the two mountains until it reached to the top, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hatta idha sawa bayna sadafain, until the iron reached all the way to the peak of the mountain. It's not like halfway. Allah even tells us the iron and the metal reach all the way to the top. And he commanded his people to put timber in between the iron. And then, حَتَّى إِذَا جَعَلَهُ نَارًا قَالَ آتُونِي أُفْرِغْ عَلَيْهِ قِطْرًا. Then he lit it up. What happened with a strong fire in between the iron? What happened to the iron? Started to melt. So rather than just becoming sheets and different blocks of iron, became one big block of iron, which consolidated that dam and that barrier. He didn't just stop there. قَالَ آتُونِي أُفْرِغْ عَلَيْهِ قِطْرًا. After he finished from the iron, which is the main fabric of that barrier that he blocked the Ya'juj and Ma'juj in the mountains, he ordered his people to get him copper and cover the iron with copper to consolidate and strengthen that barrier. which is something never ever been done in the past. It's not like, well, I get a bunch of rocks and timber and just put it there and I block it. No, no, no. He established and he built a barrier, a wall, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَا اسْطَاعُوا أَن يَظْهَرُوهُ. They couldn't get over it. وَمَا اسْطَاعُوا لَهُ نَقْبًا. They couldn't even penetrate it. What type of a wall is it? Not one that made out of brick or out of timber. Wall that's made out of one big massive block of iron covered with copper. Blocked him inside that mountain. When you talk about it and you think of it, it's a range of mountains. They had a gap, he forced the wall inside and he blocked it inside. They couldn't get over it because it's too high and they couldn't penetrate it. They can't dig a hole in it. Until that moment that the Prophet Muhammad says, where they'll continue digging, and we're talking about thousands of years, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for them to penetrate it. In a different story that we'll talk about later on. Which is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment that Allah mentions in Quran Kareem. قَالَ هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي. After he finished from building that wall, he said, this is a mercy from Allah. Mercy from Allah, yes. To get rid of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and stop Ya'juj and Ma'juj and their mischief on people and on earth. But rahmah from what? This knowledge is from Allah.
Allah Akbar.
This power. Look at this power, ultimate power that later on the Prophet Muhammad says the entire world can't even stand. In the face of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Dhul Qarnayn had that power. Allah gave him that power. So how, what did he describe that power? Rahmah, mercy from Allah. Appreciated Allah's blessing upon him. Appreciated the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّاءَ وَكَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي حَقًّا. When the time comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy the wall. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really inspired him. Allah informed him. How did Allah inform him? Allahu alam. Yes, Allah does reveal to some of his righteous servants, but not a revelation of prophecy, revelation of inspiration, revelation of information, knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired him to know that this wall will be destroyed one day and will be the opening for Ya'juj and Ma'juj to come out. In which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that. Mentions what? That the Day of Judgment will not emerge until Ya'juj and Ma'juj come out. And they'll come up from that mountain. So right now, Ya'juj and Ma'juj live. And they exist. And they are blocked in a mountain. Where's that mountain? Allahu alam. Closer to the east? Probably. From the sounds of it, closer to the east. I know, I've done my investigation and research on this. Some of the scholars say somewhere in the Himalayas, and others say somewhere in Azerbaijan, and others say somewhere in Russia, and others. Allahu alam, at the end of it, we don't know. All we know, 100%, that Ya'juj and Ma'juj are human beings, but sinister, evil human beings. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Dhul Qarnayn to block them in a mountain. They do live till this day. How they living, where they're getting their water, where they're getting their money, where they're getting this and that, I don't know. You could ask them when they emerge, and good luck for you to ask. But they are somewhere in that mountain, which have been blocked by Dhul Qarnayn. And the way that Dhul Qarnayn have blocked them is something that's amazing, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and the power they think of it. Like, you know, even we think about this day and age, like what power, what strength, what technology do you have for you to block an entire mountain with iron, with sheets of iron, and then cover it with the copper? Like, you know, I've never heard of this before. Subhanallah, is this a high rise or something? And you're talking about a high mountain. It's not like, well, 2-3 meters. Allah alam, how high is that mountain? It could be maybe 30, 40, 50, 60, a skyscraper, Allahu alam. Someone at that time, 2,000-3,000 years ago, and Allahu alam, the number of years in the past, but look at the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا, in which Allah refers to him, someone who appreciated the power that Allah had given him. Someone who appreciated the strength that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. And he blocked him there. Until the time comes. That time will come after Isa alayhi salam emerges. And Isa alayhi salam will return after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make Ad-Dajjal that we spoke about a few days ago emerge. And that's why we said the 10 major signs of the Day of Judgment all connected to one another. The Dajjal will emerge, Isa will emerge, and then after the Dajjal has been destroyed by Isa alayhi salam, Ya'juj and Ma'juj will emerge. With the numbers of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, innahi after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call upon Adam and Allah will say to him, O Adam, grab your progeny and your offspring from your children and throw them in the hellfire. So Adam alayhi salam will say, Ya Allah, like, you know, who are Ba'ath al-Nar? Who are those people from my progeny, from my offspring going to the hellfire? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, 999 people out of every thousand. So out of every thousand, 999 people going to the hellfire. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that to the Sahaba became very concerned, worried. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't worry, 998 from Ya'juj and Ma'juj. 998, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Like, what does that mean? 998 from Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Like, when you start doing the calculation, just like the entire world of two, and Ya'juj and Ma'juj are 998 out of 1,000. Well, the hadith is very clear. So, Ya'juj and Ma'juj are bigger than the entire world by 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 times. 100% or more. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, out of every 1,000, 998 from Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Like, how big is this nation? What's their numbers? To the extent when they emerge, they'll take over the entire world. But Dhul Qarnayn on his own, he stopped him. That's the man that ruled the east and the west. A righteous, upright, God-fearing, wise, powerful, Muslim, believing king. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. Who is he? Imprecise? We don't know. Where did he emerge from? Allahu alam. Where did he die at? Allahu alam. But what I mentioned to you, these are verses from the Quran al-Kareem. So 100% verified and confirmed, without a doubt. And denying him will take you out of the fold of Islam because you are denying what Allah had mentioned. But subhanAllah, we learn a lot of lessons out of the story of Dhul Qarnayn, which shows you to appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him to be a remembrance to the Day of Judgment, which Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned him in the Quran al-Kareem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon with the listen and hear. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah It pious person's destiny